بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Yesterday we had reached to the stage whereby we mentioned that during the rule of the three caliphs in 25 years' time, Islam had undergone a great change. Things were invented which never existed during the time of the Prophet, and so were things added which were never during the time of the Prophet, and which we said in our terminology it is known as bid'ah, innovation in deen. That thing which was never there in the Sharia is added, and that which was there is subtracted. These were the developments which took place during the 25 years duration. And when Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, came, he faced a very tough time, to the extent he said that if at all I go and make the amendments, if at all I take people to the path of the Quran and to the path of the Sunnah, only those people will remain in my imamat who have recognized my imamat by Quran and by the Sunnah. The rest will leave me, because they have become so much accustomed that during the 25 years rule of the three caliphs. Now before I move onwards, if at all you go through Nahjul Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam is describing this situation. And if at all you view Nahjul Balagha analytically, that is when Imam reached to Zahir Khilafat during his 4 years plus some months or 5 years, Imam went and gave sermons, and amongst these sermons, if you go through Nahjul Balagha, you will come across a couple of words of Imam Ali alayhi salam which will really put you into amazement. And Imam Ali alayhi salam was exactly describing the position of what we are discussing. In one of his sermons, Imam is mentioning, it is sermon number 87. That sermon is divided into 5 parts. Amongst those 5 parts, the second part is related to these developments which took place. That there are people who claim themselves to be learned. Imam is lamenting. Imam is weeping and wailing inside the heart. And during his 5 years' time, he is commenting on that thing which took place. I would like to mention this extract of the khutbah and then move forward. Imam is mentioning in his khutbah, in that second part of it, that there are people who claim themselves to be learned, yet they are not learned. These are the people who are cheating people by means of their speech. These are the people who are making the crimes of the people look light. These are the people who are interpreting the Quran the way they wish. These are the people who are creating bid'ah in the religion. And then Imam is using the words which is really worth noting. وَسُورَةُ سُورَةُ الْإِنسَانِ وَقَلْبُ قَلْبُ الْحَيْوَانِ ذَلِكَ الْمَيِّتُ الْأَحْيَا. These are the people whose faces are like men, but their hearts are like animals. They are living amongst the dead. And then in the succeeding khutbah, in that same khutbah, in the succeeding paragraph, after Imam Ali mentioning about this situation which took place, which I did mention last night, Imam is now saying, وَأَيْنَ تُزْحَبُونَ. Where are you going? In the midst of the progeny of the Prophet, you are going astray? Imam Ali alayhi salam is telling them that we are the people whose tongues are truth. We are the people whose faith is the sign. We are the people who are supposed to be obeyed. And then Imam Ali tells them, didn't I live or didn't I act on Thikatul Akbar Quran? And didn't I live amongst you Thikatul Asgar, that is the progeny of the Prophet? I am the one who taught you faith. I am the one who taught you the limits of the lawful and unlawful. I am the one who have taught you justice. Where are you going? This khutbah, if you look critically, Imam Ali alayhi salam is describing that developments which took place. You see, if you go across the traditions, for example, Tafsir Kabir, for example, Zamshakhari, for example, Fakhr Razi, these are Sunni scholars. In addition to the Shia sources, there are Sunni sources as well talking about love of Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. For instance, in the books it is being mentioned from the Sunni sources, Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammad mata tayyiba mata maghfura lahu mata mu'min al mustaqmil al iman ala man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammad fabashshirhu malakul maut al jannah. What is the philosophy of this? These are found in the books of the Sunnis. And mind you, before I go to explain you the philosophy of this, whenever in Arabic the word Allah comes, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'inna al-qulub, Allah is putting emphasis on this word. Khabardar, beware that only by the remembrance of the heart, by the remembrance of the Allah, the hearts are set at rest. Allah qad qutila al-Husayn Karbala. Khabardar, beware that Hussein has been martyred. Here the word Allah has been used to put all the more emphasis on the word that it is whenever a person dies in the love of Ali Muhammad, has died repentant, has died forgiven, has died with a faith which is complete. The reason is that these are found in the Sunni books, that love will entail obedience. The philosophy of love is what? That whenever you love someone, he becomes your beloved and you are the lover. And the lover will always try to imitate the beloved. He will try to create similarities with him. He will try to create resemblance with it. And that guidance will take him towards Hidayah. Hence you have been told to love Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. To the extent it is mentioned that anyone who has enmity towards Ahl Bayt, on the day of judgment when he will be resurrected, on his forehead it will be written that this man has been deprived of the mercy of Allah. To the extent it has been mentioned in the Sunni sources that the Prophet is reported to have said that on the day of judgment, the first one to go before Allah the Mighty will be I. And together with me will be Quran and my Ahl Bayt, and then my Ummah will come. And then I'll pose a question to them. How did you behave with these two? So Imam Ali alayhi salam is weeping and wailing in this khatbah. That where are you going? Amongst us? In our presence you are going astray? We have acted on the Quran and we are present. So this khutbah all in all is conveying that position which took place. This took place, Imam Ali gave this khutbah during his Khilafat. And he was ascribing this position of that which happened. So reaching up to here, we know now the developments taking place. That religion is being flouted upon in the capacity of Islam. Those which never existed are being put into the religion as a religion. Those which are there are being deleted. This is known as bid'ah, and Imam Hussain alayhi salam is a live witness of these developments. I told you that how Imam Hussain alayhi salam saved Islam will be questioned at the latter days. But try to maintain the developments which are taking place. A time came when, as I told you last night, the Quraysh created a lot of wars against Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Jung of Siffin, the Battle of Siffin was raised. The Battle of Jamal, the Battle of Nahrawan. And ultimately the Quraysh martyred our Imam in Masjid Kufa alayhi salam. And Mawiyah, the accursed, with his companions like Amr ibn As and with his close mates, came to the throne as the caliphate of the vast Muslim empire. His dreams have materialized. During the time of Umar, up to the time of Uthman, he was the governor of Sham for 20 solid years. 20 solid years he had got an iron fist there, especially during the time of Uthman. He had an open hand. And now he is the caliphate. From the governorship he is the caliphate. Ahle Bayt alayhimus salam have been placed in seclusion. At power is Bani Umayyah, that enemy of Allah and the Prophet. And if at all I would say this, that amongst the satanic politicians during that time, Muawiyah is first and foremost, I won't be wrong to say that, for the policies which he adopted. How did Muawiyah work? And this will take us around 2 to 3 nights, because it is so vital for us to know. How did Muawiyah work? Now Muawiyah is the caliphate of the vast Muslim empire. He worked on 3 grounds. There were 3 grounds on which Muawiyah exploited. The first ground was the culture of Damascus, the culture of Syria, Sham. You know, it's very difficult that whenever a culture is hovering over the head of the people, is to take them out from that culture and take them towards the other culture. It's not that easy. Sham, as the Umayyads had placed their base there, the people were still in that culture which was in the pre-Advent Islam. And especially when the Hakim there was Muawiyah, he made all possible that Islam should not reach there. The people were still there with that same culture of the Jahiliyyah, and Muawiyah exploited it. He did not allow Islam to come there, because after all, Sham was far from Hijaz. He exploited that situation. The second was the chiefs of the Kabilas, Ru'asa'e Qawm, they call him. During this time, they were chiefs of the communities. And the people used to be how? Let me explain you. That if at all a chief used to come, and he used to declare himself a murtad, the whole community blindly used to become murtad. If at all the chief of the community would say that I am professing my faith in the Prophet of Allah, the whole community, the whole tribe, without any reasons, without any ifs and buts, they would accept the prophethood of the Prophet. Muawiyah exploited that issue as well. The issue of the Ru'asa'e Qawm. He targeted the chiefs of the communities. And he knew that if at all he is achieved, the whole community will come. He exploited that ground. And the third and the most important, and which I will underscore this inshallah in the days to come, was the weak faith of the people. Za'iful Iman. These are the people who are like branches or like leaves. Wherever the wind comes, they go. He exploited that situation. Sham, the people there were ignorant. Why? Because they were far from Hijaz. Prophet was in Medina, in Hijaz. And moreover, there in Hijaz, Muawiyah was the ruler. And I will mention a couple of incidences to show you how stupid and how ignorant were the people of Sham. They were weak faith. And Muawiyah exploited it. Muawiyah exploited that issue as well. So there were 3 things which Muawiyah worked upon. The issue of culture, he made it a ground to execute his satanic policies. The issue of Ru'asa'e Qawm, the community heads. And the issue of weak faith. Today the global arrogant powers are even working on this issue as well. And in addition to this, there were 3 additional factors which Muawiyah implemented based on these 3 grounds. See how cunning this man was. There were additional 3 factors which Muawiyah worked upon based on these 3 grounds. These are 3 grounds. And there are 3 other factors which Muawiyah worked upon based on these 3 grounds. For number 1 was the issue of propagation. The second was the issue of siphoning out funds in huge sums. And the third was threat, mass murder, plundering of the property. These are the three factors which Mawia worked based on those three grounds. As far as tabligh is concerned, as far as propagation is concerned, number one, which Mawia worked upon, until today and since times immemorial, these are the three things which the satanic politicians work upon. Even today, America is working on the same three principles. Propagation, but today the propagation is different. At that time, everyone had professed Islam and in the Risala of the Prophet. At that time, the propagation which Mawia applied was different. Today, the global arrogant powers are applying it in a different manner. They are saying today, things like issue of humanism, things like religious pluralism, things like various interpretation of religion, which I will come inshallah in the last lecture, that what are our responsibilities. The devilish satanic plans from times immemorial till today are based on these three issues. One is tabligh. Second is the issue of siphoning out funds. If you are not there amongst the stooges of US, funds are curtailed off. And the third is threat. So coming to tabligh, how did Mawia work upon this issue? He made this tabligh. He propagated. And Ayatullah Misbah Yazdi, writing in his book that he took three people into account in this propagation business. In order to implement his satanic schemes, he used the shuara, the poets. You know, in Arabia at that time, poems were of great use. There were people who were mahir in reciting of poems. They were masters of poem. They could recite poems of amazing nature. Mawia took hold of them. Took those people who were masters in poetry and told them to recite poems in favor of him and against Imam Ali alayhi salam. He used the poets. This is as far as tabligh is concerned. I'm in factor number one, and I will spend some time in this tabligh. How did Mawia apply it? He used the poets to flame that animosity towards Bani Hashim and towards Bani Umayyah. He said to the poets that you recite poems in our favor, in the Umayyad's regime, for Mawia, and recite them against the Bani Hashim, against Imam Ali, against the Prophet. He used them for tabligh. Secondly, he used in this tabligh issue as people who were muhaddisin. He employed them. People like Abu Huraira. His books have been written by his name. He was the one who was employed for this reason amongst the many. Fabrication of hadith. And the third, who were used in this propagation business, was the people who were Qari'a Qur'an. And Qari'a Qur'an during those times are not only those people who recite the Qur'an by memory. Qari'a Qur'an during that time were those people who knew the Qur'an, who could memorize the Qur'an, who knew its translation, who knew its commentary. Mawia employed them. Employed them in propagation. So he kept the shuara, the poets. He kept the muhaddisin, the people who were reciting the traditions, and he kept those qari'a Qur'an in order to flame this animosity between the Bani Umayyah and the Bani Hashim. And people were of weak faith. People were taken by it. People of Sham were of weak faith, as I said. So that was the ground which Mawia worked upon. By taking tabligh towards these people without a stable aqidah, Mawia was successful in his program. He did a lot of things in this tabligh issue. Just mentioning an incident only pertaining to the jahiliyat, pertaining to that weak iman of the Shamis, just one issue that once it so happened that Mawia wanted to go for Jang-e Siffin, The people advised him, it was Wednesday, the people advised him, you go to Jange Sifin after offering Namaz-e-Jumah. He recited Namaz-e-Jumah. He led Namaz-e-Jumah on Wednesday, and the people did not say anything. To the extent that when Imam Ali al-Islam was martyred in the mihrab of Masjid al-Kufa, the people posed the question, did Imam Ali al-Islam ever pray? Astaghfirullah. That was the jahiliyyah of the Shamis. And Imam Muawiyah exploited the situation. Muawiyah made a use of this situation. With this, inshallah, we shall develop the subject tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.